You're going to play some music by Claude Debussy for us, a little prelude. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a musical painting, in a way, by Claude Debussy. And before we step back and take in the whole painting, I wonder if we could talk a little bit about the colors and the brush strokes and the way he applied the paint to the canvas, about the pianistic techniques.
Well, to me, that's still a little bit of a mystery, you know, how he was able to convey everything that he did with an instrument that's basically a percussive instrument. I mean, he really helped along in a great way, you know, the progress of the instrument as a fantastically expressive device, you know, which can portray just about anything under the sun. I really am not aware of a greater marriage of intellect and sensuality. And to me, that's really the most remarkable aspect of Debussy's writing and Debussy's being, really.
You're talking about the many aspects and the many facets of his creativity, and you hear so many of them in this piece, too, mm-hmm. in the form of the piece and the way he manipulates time and the way he gives you a sense of speed in places, too. Mm-hmm. This would be a wonderful prelude, even if it were just called Prelude.
Oh, of course.
But it's not. He gave it a very specific title.
Yes. He gives you a hint at the end of the piece.
Well, maybe we shouldn't even say what the name of the piece is. Maybe we should just hear this piano prelude by Claude Debussy. Now, it is a particular picture. See what pictures come to mind as Mark plays this, and then we'll say what the name of the piece is. It's a prelude by Claude Debussy. Marc-André Hamelin joining us here in the Maude Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Marc-André Hamelin, well, first of all, wonderful performance. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Shall we say what Debussy had in mind?
Well, the prelude is called Fireworks, Feu d'artifice. He gives you a little hint at the end of the occasion because you hear a portion of the Marseillaise.
I remember going to a concert when I was 10 years old. I went to hear Artur Rubinstein play a concert. He was in his mid, almost 85 at this point.
Right.
But he was my hero. And at the end of the concert, I turned to my mother who had taken me to the concert and I said, "What's going on? When's he going to play music that he wrote?" And my mother had to explain to me, "Well, he just plays music that other people wrote." You, on the other hand, not only play music that other people wrote, you're something of a composer as well.
Well, I wouldn't call myself a composer as much as I'm a pianist who likes to write or maybe feels the need to write. I mean, I certainly don't make a living as a composer, but I do feel the creative impulse. I felt it ever since I started, really. I started piano lessons when I was 5, and I saw my father's sheet music collection, and I saw some music paper that he had. I wanted to do the same thing, and of course, I wrote a whole bunch of nonsense because I didn't know what music notation even was or how it worked. But at least the seed was there, and I can't remember ever not writing in some capacity, really. I didn't produce anything useful until I turned maybe 18 or 19, but I kept trying.
Useful meaning something that you might play beyond
something
your living room.
Something presentable.
Yeah.
In public.
And now it's something that you do with some frequency in your concerts.
Yes, I am very actively engaged right now in finishing a series of 12 etudes in all minor keys, which I actually started in the mid-80s. It's just to show you that I really... I've never had to deal with a deadline, really. I've written these totally at my leisure, and you know, a few years ago I started again. And the real incentive came when earlier this year a major publisher wrote to me and saying, "We would like to publish the set." But the only problem is at that point it wasn't completed. But now I only have one of them to write, so I'd say within a year and a half, they will appear. And I will also try to record them.
Is there a piece of yours that you can play for us today?
Yes, this is actually not part of those etudes. It's called Little Nocturne. It's a piece that was actually requested by Clavier magazine, which is a pedagogical periodical.
Something that people who subscribe to the magazine could open up and sit down at the piano and play themselves.
Exactly.
It's simply called Little Nocturne, and the composer is here at the piano himself, Marc-André Hamelin.
Thank you.
That's simply called Little Nocturne, a sweet little piece that Marc-André Hamelin wrote. And Marc-André Hamelin, at the piano here in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio, just played that for us. And sweet little piece.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that, Mark.
It almost sounds like something which could be a sketch for something longer, but I'm happy to let it stand as it is.
Mark, one more little bonbon.
Bonbon is a good word for this one,
actually. Yeah. So much of what you do is big, substantial piano music, and I love what you bring to that, and I love the music that you bring to us, that you tackle pieces that nobody else does. But this one maybe is in both of those categories. It's a little bonbon, but it's also something you'll never hear another classical pianist playing.
Well, hopefully in the future, but for the moment it's unpublished. I have to backtrack here. This is an interesting story, actually. Sometime in the 50s, there's a 45 RPM sort of extended play, 45 RPM, that came out called Mr. Nobody Plays Trenet. And Trenet, in this case, is Charles Trenet, the French singer-songwriter, who performed and wrote dozens of just exquisite French popular songs. These were piano arrangements, very creative and really quite virtuosic at times. And, of course, we didn't know who Mr. Nobody was. And recently, through this pianist's website, it was revealed that it was Alexis Weissenberg, who is one of the great pianists of the 20th century. And a friend actually alerted me to these things because I had never heard of this recording, and I was immediately fascinated. I learned later from Weissenberg himself that he had never written them down. So I set out to that task myself. And it wasn't easy, but luckily I had the help of a good software which slows the music down without altering the pitch. So that helps things a great deal. And I have been playing these pieces as encores over the last year, and they really, really delight audiences. There are 6 songs. This is one of them. And it's called En Avril à Paris. It means April in Paris, but it is not the song April in Paris that we all know. This is a different one.
Marc-André Hamelin pieced together this arrangement by Alexis Weissenberg, listening to the recording, wrote down the music note for note, and here he is to play it for us.
Thank you.
Sweet little arrangement that Alexis Weissenberg did of a song by the French pop singer-songwriter Charles Trenet, En Avril à Paris,
yes,
which would translate as April in Paris, although it's not the April in Paris that we might know by that name.
That's right.
Besides Weissenberg, nobody's played these but you, because you listened to his recordings and worked them out note for note.
Unless somebody else has also transcribed these things, but I haven't heard of anybody doing it now.
Mark, great to see you again.
Thanks for having me. This is wonderful.